tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
From here to Armageddon, welcome to lesson number 3 of our From Here to Armageddon series. The second major event on our From Here to Armageddon timeline is the coming Palestinian-Israeli peace agreement. The prophesied Palestinian-Israeli peace agreement is so important because the Bible states that when this agreement is reached, the final 7 years to Armageddon will begin. This prophecy is one of the very few prophecies in the Bible that has a timeline attached to it. When this prophesied agreement is reached, we will be able to mark on our calendars that we are 7 years away from the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus to the earth. The prophecy is found in Daniel 9, 24 through 27. Jerusalem had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians in 586 BC. Most of the Jews had been carried away at that time into Babylonian exile. During their 70 years of captivity, the Jews dreamed of the day they could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple. Now, this incredibly important prophecy was given to the prophet Daniel while he was still in Babylon. Around 539 BC, the Medes and the Persians conquered the kingdom of Babylon, replacing it with their own world-dominating empire. Cyrus, one of the rulers of the Medes and the Persians, gave the command that Jews should be allowed to return back to Jerusalem from their Babylonian captivity and gave them permission to rebuild their temple. Daniel's prophecy states that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah would be 49 years plus 434 years. Due to the unreliability of the calendars back in that time period, we can't speak with certainty as to the exact date the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem was issued. However, we know for certain Messiah was to come after the 49 years and then the 434 year segments. Verse 26 of Daniel 9 gives us this information. This verse also tells us the Messiah would come and then would be cut off, and then the city and the sanctuary would be destroyed. Here we have two specific events that were foretold. The prophecy clearly states that the Messiah would come, number one, and he would be cut off before the destruction of Jerusalem. We know the date of the destruction of Jerusalem. All historians agree that Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Consequently, we know for certain the Messiah had to come and be cut off before 70 AD. Well, Jesus came and was crucified. That certainly qualifies for being cut off sometime between 30 and 40 AD. This is absolute and amazing proof that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, let's make sure we really get this. The prophecy states that after this 483-year period, that Messiah would be cut off and the people of the prince that would come would destroy the city and the sanctuary.
The world's greatest revival is just ahead. How far are we from the Battle of Armageddon, and what will happen between now and then? The prophecies of the Bible clearly foretell of major events that will come to pass over the next few years. God did not intend for his people to stumble blindly through the end times. Irvin Baxter covers the final 7 years with the timeline of events. Sixth Trumpet War, Israel's Third Temple, the Antichrist, 666, and the world's greatest revival just ahead. From Here to Armageddon gives the location of the prophecy, explains what it means, and shows how world conditions are presently converging for the fulfillment of prophecy. These cutting-edge teachings will open eyes to understanding like never before. Order your From Here to Armageddon 8-lesson series right now. Call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. Or go to endtime.com. Order yours today.
Now, the Bible teaches that there's a gap in this prophecy. I want to look at that gap for just a moment. Notice that after the first 483 years was ended by the cutting off of the Messiah, and before the events of the final 7 year period are described, there is this gap. During this gap, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple by the Romans takes place. The fact that there are gaps in this prophecy is the reason that the prophecy is given in segments of 49 years, 434 years, and finally, 7 years. Before the coming of the Messiah, a total of 483 years of the prophecy had transpired. There is only one more 7 year period of the prophecy remaining. The big question is, how long does this gap last? Is it 50 years, 100 years, or maybe even 2,000 years? Well, that's actually the case. We're in the gap even as I'm making this video. However, we're very close now to the final 7 years. What we know is that the final 7 years has still not begun. The prophecy tells us what will trigger the final 7 years to Armageddon and the second coming. Let's read this portion of the prophecy. It's found in Daniel 9:27. Listen carefully. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst or the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspread of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. To understand this verse, we must know five things. Who is he in this verse? What is the covenant? How long is 1 week? What sacrifices will be stopped? And who stops them? What is this event called the abomination of desolation? So we're going to take these items one at a time. First of all, who is he? Well, the Bible teaches us that there is a personage in verse 26, just before verse 27 starts. And there's a law of grammar that states when we have a pronoun, a masculine pronoun, the antecedent to that is the last mentioned masculine noun. Well, the last mentioned masculine noun in verse 26 is the prince that shall come. The Bible says that the Messiah will be cut off, and then the people of the prince that shall come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. So the he is referring to the prince that shall come, referring to the Antichrist. Now, the Romans are the one that destroyed the city and the sanctuary, but the Bible says the Antichrist will preside over a reborn Holy Roman Empire. we have another definite proof that he is the Antichrist, because he does two more things in verse number 27. He's going to stop the sacrifice, and he's going to place the abomination of desolation. In Daniel 11:31, it specifically states that the Antichrist and his partners will take away the daily sacrifice and place the abomination that maketh desolate. So the Bible is crystal clear. The he that's going to confirm the covenant is the Antichrist. Question number two then is, what is the covenant? The prophecy states that the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with many for 7 years. Now, this shows us that this peace agreement is going to be an interim agreement, not a final agreement. It's going to be interim because the status of Jerusalem will not be determined. They're going to put that off, apparently, for 7 years. But the Antichrist will confirm a covenant for 7 years. The covenant which the Antichrist will confirm is the Abrahamic covenant referred to in Genesis 15:18. Let's read the prophecy so all of us can see it. This is the prophecy where God made his covenant with Abraham. Genesis 15:18 says it this way. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt in the south, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, up in the north. In this passage, God said to Abraham that he was entering into a covenant. When God enters into a covenant with you, that's a big deal, and he's not going to break it. So God is entering into a covenant with Abraham. He promised the land where Abraham was at that moment to him and to his descendants after him forever. At the time of this promise, Abraham was dwelling in Beersheba, located in the Holy Land. Beersheba is about 50 miles south of Jerusalem. The most disputed question in world politics today, 4,000 years later, is whether Israel has a right to exist in the promised land that God promised Abraham, in what we call the Holy Land. In the coming peace agreement, the Antichrist and the world community will confirm that Israel does have a right to a homeland there. Now, we're looking at the coming Middle East peace agreement, and we've looked at the first two prophecies about it. Prophecy number three is that he will confirm the covenant for 1 week. As in the rest of the prophecy, this refers to a week of years or a seven-year period. For example, the Bible says he will confirm the covenant with many for a period of 70 weeks. And from the first week to the 69th week is 483 years. That way we prove for sure that each week is a week of years. Consequently, when we say we have 1 week left, he will confirm the covenant with 1 week. We can show that he's going to confirm the covenant with many for 7 years. There are many other proofs that this is also true. So he's going to confirm the covenant and for a seven-year period. Then he's going to stop the sacrifices. So what sacrifices will be stopped, and who stops them? Well, once the temple is completed, which will happen during the first 3.5 years of the seven-year period, Israel will resume animal sacrifices as required in the Old Testament. They don't believe that Jesus has come. So if they have a temple and they're already wanting to resume these sacrifices right now, if the Supreme Court would allow them to. So they're going to, once they get the temple done, after this agreement is made, giving them a right to build their temple on the Temple Mount, once it's finished, they will resume animal sacrifices. But this is going to cause a lot of problems. The animal rights activists will undoubtedly demonstrate vehemently, and the Antichrist will be under such tremendous pressure to stop the sacrifices. The Bible says he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to stop. Okay, So what is the abomination of desolation then? When the Antichrist stops the sacrifices, he may say something like this: you don't need these sacrifices anymore because I am Messiah, I am God. The Bible says that he will stand in the temple of God claiming to be God. Now, why is this the abomination of desolation? Because God said 37 times in the Old Testament, I'm going to put my name there.
Move Mountains with Irvin Baxter, the new book by Irvin's grandson, provides 30 days of devotion that will enhance your connection to God and others. Authentic illustrations from early morning devotions at End Time will help you identify areas in your life where you can be more intentional and ultimately discover your purpose. Commit to taking this 30-day journey and experience real life change. Pre-order for only $25.99 at endtime.com/move and get free bonus items worth over $100. Go to endtime.com/move today. Have you ever wondered if world news fits into God's end time plan? Visit endtime.com and watch End of the Age broadcast with Irvin Baxter and David Robbins weekdays from 3 to 4 Central to understand how current events and the latest breaking news fulfills Bible prophecy. You can watch the show live by clicking the watch button on our homepage or catch up on missed shows by viewing our archive programming. Once again, watch End of the Age with Irvin Baxter and David Robbins live from 3 to 4 Central at endtime.com.
The Palestinian-Israeli agreement will provide for several things. I'm talking about the one they're working on right now. One, it will recognize Israel's right to exist in the Holy Land, as we've already mentioned. Two, it will create a Palestinian state in the area of Judea, Samaria. This is the area commonly referred to today as the West Bank. It's the area between Jerusalem and the Jordan River that Israel captured from the Jordanians during the 1967 Six Days War. Three, the Jews presently living in the area of the new Palestinian state, about 800,000 of them, will be allowed to remain there, living as a Jewish minority under the new Palestinian government, just like there are presently 1.6 million Arabs living as an Arab minority in the Israeli state. It's going to be the same type of arrangement. Number four, the conflict over the Temple Mount will be resolved by placing it under a sharing arrangement. This 35 acres that's so disputed, they're going to say, look, the only way to solve this, both Jews and Muslims and probably Christians as well, will be allowed to worship there. The Jews will also be permitted to build their temple on the Temple Mount without disturbing the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock presently standing on the Temple Mount. This sharing arrangement will be supervised by the international community, probably the United Nations. Number five, the dispute over the status of Jerusalem will be left unresolved. Palestinians contend that there can be no peace unless East Jerusalem is given to them for their capital. However, the Jews annexed East Jerusalem in 1980, declaring it to be their eternal, undivided capital. They are going to be unwilling to give it up. Rather than allow this one issue to sabotage the entire agreement, the decision will be made to postpone determining the final status of Jerusalem until later, probably 7 years later. Now, let's see what the Bible actually prophesies about the coming Middle East peace agreement. I don't want you to think this is simply speculation concerning what is going to happen, but let's look at the Bible. How do we know that there will be a two-state solution? How do we know that Judea, or the West Bank, as the news media likes to call it, how do we know that the West Bank is going to be made into a Palestinian homeland? Well, we know it because Jesus prophesied that this area would be controlled by hostile enemies during the time of the Great Tribulation. The prophecy is found in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 and 16, the most famous prophecy chapter in the entire Bible. It's called the Olivet Discourse, the entire chapter spoken to us by Jesus Christ himself. In verse number 15, Jesus said, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation," we've heard about that one before, haven't we? "When you see the Antichrist stand on the Temple Mount claiming to be the ultimate authority there, as spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." That's the way we know where the abomination of desolation is going to occur, because it's going to be in the holy place, in the temple, which is on the Temple Mount. And then the writer wrote in, "Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." Now, let me remind you, Judea is the West Bank area. If you go to Israel today and you have a Jewish guide, he's going to tell you this is the area of Judea, Samaria, because southern Israel is historic Judea. You remember there was a split in Israel after the kingship of Solomon, and the northern kingdom became known as Israel with Samaria as its capital. The southern kingdom became known as Judah with Jerusalem as its capital. Well, this is the territory that was conquered by the Israelis in the 67 war when Jordan attacked them. They counterattacked and they drove Jordan back across the Jordan River, ending their 19 years of occupation of the West Bank. And now Israel is in occupation of the area of Judea, Samaria. So Jesus said, "When you see the abomination, then let those which be in Judea run for your life." He was speaking about the Jews that would live there. So what's going to happen is, like we mentioned before, when they get this peace agreement, they're not going to be able to move out 800,000 Jews kicking and screaming. It'd cause a civil war. But now they've come up with a solution that both sides have already agreed on. And that is, the Jews who don't want to leave when the Palestinians take control of this new area called their new state, they can stay there living as a Jewish minority under the Palestinian state. They've already come to that agreement. Well, many of them are going to accept that. They're going to keep their businesses, keep their homes, thinking that this is going to work. We've now got peace. However, the Bible says halfway through this agreement, through this 7 years, when this abomination of desolation occurs, something about that is going to ignite Palestinian anger, and they're going to begin to slaughter the Jews among them. So Jesus said to them, if you're out in that area at the 3.5 year mark, if you're there when the abomination of desolation is committed, you better run for your life. He actually said this in verses number 17 through 20. He said, let those of you which are in Judea, if you're on the housetop when you hear about this event, don't even come down into your house to grab your clothes. If you're out in the field working, don't run back to get your billfold. Hit the ground running. Why? Because verse 21 tells us, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. This is where we find the term, the great tribulation. So this passage tells us that there will be Jews living in Judea under the new Palestinian state. This also prophesies that Jews will have to run for their lives. Let's look at the prophecy now that lets us know that the Temple Mount will be placed under a sharing arrangement between Jew and Gentile. It's very clear. This has also already been discussed. President Clinton himself, when he was trying to negotiate a deal back in the year 2000, he actually suggested the sharing of the Temple Mount. But let's read the prophecy. Revelation 11, verse 1 and 2. And there was given me a reed likened to a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and don't measure that, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, this particular prophecy is given at the halfway point. And John was told, measure the temple, the people that worship therein, but because now the temple's completed and the Jews are worshiping there. And so John is told, measure the temple, but don't measure the outer court, because that's going to continue to be under Muslim control. The Dome of the Rock, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, they're going to be worshiping there. And that will be located in what's called the outer court of the new temple. This passage begins the final 3.5 years to the second coming of Jesus to this earth. Another aspect of the prophecy, the building of Israel's third temple. Do we know for certain that there will be a temple built? We do. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 3 through 4, we read this, the Apostle Paul speaking, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," speaking of the rapture, "shall not come except two things happen."
Thank you for being with us today on End of the Age. If you would like the complete lesson of today's program, watch the following message. The world's greatest revival is just ahead. How far are we from the Battle of Armageddon, and what will happen between now and then? The prophecies of the Bible clearly foretell of major events that will come to pass over the next few years. God did not intend for His people to stumble blindly through the end times. Irvin Baxter covers the final 7 years with the timeline of events. Sixth Trumpet War, Israel's Third Temple, the Antichrist, 666, and the world's greatest revival just ahead. From Here to Armageddon gives the location of the prophecy, explains what it means, and shows how world conditions are presently converging for the fulfillment of prophecy. These cutting-edge teachings will open eyes to understanding like never before. Order your From Here to Armageddon 8-lesson series right now. Call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. Or go to endtime.com. Order yours today.
Have you always wanted to know more about Bible prophecy? Well, now you can. Attend a prophecy conference hosted by End of the Age's Irvin Baxter. Call 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com/events to see when Irvin will be at a location near you.